Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, grateful to be here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the freshness of the Holy Spirit. We ask, God, that you be with us, Lord, in this service to guide us, to be a help, Lord, to the people, Lord. Lord, we come here for one thing, and that's to uplift you. And thereby doing that, Lord, to be a help to the people. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. I spoke a message, I think, maybe back in January on this subject. We'll probably just refresh your minds a little bit before I go on to what I'm really wanting to preach on tonight. That goes right in line with this, but I preached on the waters of Mara, I believe, back in January. I'll just refresh your memories on it a little bit, and then we'll go on to further into the teaching. Verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur, and they were 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Mara, they could not drink of the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Mara. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord shew him a tree. When he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You may be seated. Now the name Mara, of course, means bitter. And the prophet taught that in this portion of scripture, that the representation was the bitter, you got the bitterness of trials. And then the tree that they put into the water, he said, represented the cross. The cross can make your trials sweet. And then we looked at why would God lead them directly to the waters of Mara. Go back a little bit even before that. Why would he lead them to the Red Sea and them have, you know, the Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptians behind them? But that's the way God leads. He leads us in places to where he continuously prove to us his care and his power and his strength and his love. And the same waters that divided and allowed the children of Israel to cross over were the same waters that destroyed their enemies. Why would he lead them to Mara? Why wouldn't he lead them somewhere where there was good fresh water where they could drink? Brother Branham said, God, that's the way God leads. He leads us sometimes to trials. And sometimes those trials are bitter. And you go through trials that sometimes it leaves a, spiritually speaking, a bitter taste in your mouth. And not always does the trials come from the world. Sometimes they come from just right around us. Sometimes, I can testify to this, sometimes they come within your own house. I've had that and had to deal with that and some bitter trials. But that's the way God leads us. And if he leads us somewhere, then he's got a way to remedy whatever the problem is. He's got a provided way Brother Branham says in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, they come to the wilderness of sin. The waters were bitter, Myra. Why did God lead them to the bitter waters? Looks like he would have led them to good water. But he led them to the bitter waters so he could prove their faith. He likes to do it. He likes to let tribulations come on you, show you his love and his power. Then we find that after this, that the children of Israel again come to a place, this time there is no water. And you'll find in the book of Numbers, you know, turn with me tonight in Numbers, the 20th chapter. And verse 1, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin, into the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. What? So often, the pastor gets blamed for things. It's the truth. First place people look. I can guarantee you I'm not causing myself any problems. The people chode with Moses. That means they quarreled. And spake and said, would God we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is any water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of God appeared unto them. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them waters out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rod, and he said unto them, hear ye, rebels, must I fetch water out of this rock? See, this was the third time, actually, they had come to a trial of water. The first time, God, it was Myra. Then the second was when God told Moses to take the rod and smite the rock. This time he told Moses to go and speak to the rock. But Moses was human. And he had just got a little bit fed up. And so he said, must you bunch of rebels? Must I fetch water from a rock for you? And it showed the human side of Moses. Moses got upset. Wonder why he got upset. I mean, it wasn't like every time they turned around, they were complaining. It wasn't like every time Moses went away that somebody was stirring up trouble. Or was it those things? It was all those things. Thing we don't want to do is become bitter toward the Lord. In Job, if you want to mark these scriptures down that I'm going to refer to, Job 9, Job refers to being filled with bitterness. His trials had become so bitter, he was feeling that he himself was filled with bitterness. That's in Job 9. In Job 7, He actually says, I complain in the bitterness of my soul. So it had, his trials were really becoming bitter. But then we find that there was a sweetness that came to it when God revealed to Job about the resurrection. Because Job had said that my life is wind, mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanish away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. So no wonder he had a bitterness in his soul. Job had no understanding of the resurrection. He was thinking, this life had been so glorious, now it's become so bitter, and when I die, it's it, that's it, it's over. But then God gave him a revelation. And that's when we all know the scripture and quote it quite often. When Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And so Job's bitterness became sweet, sweetened. What? It was sweetened by a revelation of the cross. It was sweetened by a revelation of the resurrection of the Redeemer. You know, when we look at the life of Joseph, Joseph went through some bitter trials. He was his own brothers. Sold him into slavery. His own family. I said his own family turned on him. For what? Jealousy. Then every time Joseph things start to get better, they end up being worse than they were to start with. Until finally, Joseph ends up in prison. But all this was God's path. We can see that by looking in the scriptures. The path to the throne had to go that direction. Unless Joseph had been sold by his brothers, he would have never left the land of his father. Unless Joseph had been put in Potiphar's house, he would have never been falsely accused and never end up in prison. And if he didn't end up in prison, he would have never met the butler. He would have never met the men there and would have never heard their dreams, would have never been able to interpret their dreams, and therefore would have never been brought up to Pharaoh to interpret his dream. So we see the path of God so clearly. But when it comes to our lives, sometimes it's hard to see. Why would it be this hard? But it's in the Bible. How can we expect it to be different? God knows what he's doing. I like that song that Brother Tidwell sings, God will make this trial a blessing. Second Corinthians chapter 4, if you'll turn with me. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So here it's talking about the resurrection. And the same one who resurrected the Lord Jesus is the same one that will resurrect us. And be present us with you. He's, with that you, he's talking about those that don't go by the way of the grave. For all things are for your sakes. Sometimes it's hard to believe that when we're in the middle of something. How in the world could this be for my sake? How could this be for my good? Well, I'm sure glad that God knows better than we do. I'm glad that I'll tell you what, as long as you've got control of your life and leading it, you're definitely going to end up in trouble. But as long as God's leading it, though you may go through the waters, though you may go through the fire, you're all going to go through, the song says, the blood. And we'll make it. Our goal, friends, is not anything of this earth. And that's something we must keep in mind. We must keep in mind that I'm not saying we walk around like we're zombies or something. No, but we must keep our spiritual thinking caps on at all times. We must think about the spiritual side of things and not look at everything carnally. Sometimes we're looking so directly at the trial or something that's right in front of us that we miss the whole picture. Like the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. It's right there, the whole picture. And the big picture is that what this is all about is getting us ready to leave here. That's what the big picture is. Now there's things we've got to contend with. There's things that we've got to do. We have to work. We have to pay our bills. There's different things in this life we have to do while we're here. Brother Branham said, if I knew he was coming tomorrow and I was planting potatoes today, I'd go ahead and plant the potatoes. Meaning you go ahead and those things that you know you got to do and get done, you do them. But you keep in mind, you're not doing them so that you will have a place here on earth eternal. For our eternal is in the heavens. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, that means be on hand in abundance, to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we know this outward man's perishing. We can look in the mirror and that tells us that. We see the changes that take place. And it seems like age creeps up on us. Then we look back and think, man, where'd the years go? I'm going to buy so quickly. And there's some years I wouldn't want to repeat. I'm sure you have some too. But the inward man is renewed day by day. By what? The Word. It's renewed by the Word. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. He called it a light affliction. But what he's measuring it is measured by what it's going to be when we get over yonder. When we get to the other side, once we get to heaven, then we're going to look back and say every bit of it was worth it. Because this life, it says, which is but for a moment. That's the description of this life. It's for a moment. Especially when you compare it to eternity. Prophet says, So now I just think about that sometime when trials get hard and I hit snags in life like everybody, some hard trials, we have to pull hard to get through it. But when I'm up against it, I just think of this. Well, what difference does it make? It's kind of hard sometimes right in the middle of it. Say, well, whatever. I just think, well, what difference does it make? The Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Is that right? So maybe it's for my good. So I just go right ahead and take it anyhow. Wasn't the prophet good enough? Didn't he live a good enough life? I mean, hard trials continued through all throughout his ministry. So how do we think it's going to be any different for us? And realize it's all for your good. If the meal barrel is empty, God promised he would supply it. Maybe he wanted it to get empty every once in a while. Maybe he wanted it to get empty every once in a while. Maybe if something else happened or kids hadn't got enough shoes, why to go around, why you have to buy a pair this Saturday and wait two Saturdays, buy another pair. I don't know how that is, or I know how that is. Well, God will supply everything. Brother Bosworth told Brother Branham that he went to California and he was holding a convention and he paid his own way out there. And he got out there, and he wasn't taking up any offerings, and he wasn't pulling for any money, and none was coming in. Then he thought, the last night of the convention, he thought, you know, I guess it was a tent meeting, and he thought, well, the last night he'll take up an offering to try to pay for these meetings he'd had. So the last night it rained, and nobody showed up. So he had to borrow money to get back home. Here he was now in debt. So, but he didn't stop. He went on to another meeting. And at the other meeting, he got enough offerings to take care of those meetings and the other meetings that didn't get paid for. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to take care of things. That's why, and Brother Branham's giving this example right after he's about Brother Bosworth, right after he says sometimes God wants the meal barrel to get empty. That's what happened to Brother Bosworth. They got empty, but God still supplied. The message I know in 1960, Brother Branham says, last night, speaking to that little woman out at the trailer and her husband, how that yonder in Phoenix, in serious condition, those big cancers laying up there on them. Now today is perfectly well normal. And the little baby that was going to have its heart taken out sits here in the building this morning, normal, well. A little blind boy that once walked in darkness and never seen daylight walks today and sees the light of day. And oh God, how we thank you for this. And it's all looking beyond the veil to the great day of resurrection. Granted, Father, let them know that these things had to be that way. The things that we go through, they have to be that way. Now look, God knows me and God knows you. And the devil studies you, and he studies me, try to find our weakness. And when he finds our weakness, that's where he attacks us at. When you feel upset, feel like you're losing your temper, no, that's not the Holy Spirit anointing you. That's not coming from that inward man. Something has got to stir out there in that spirit realm in your gates and getting you all tore up. So what do I do about it? Get down and pray. Get down and pray. I think sometimes when I tell that to people, they wish I had another answer. But when they think that they wish I had another answer, it's because they don't know the power behind prayer. Prayer changes things. And I'll tell you this. You can get down on your knees feeling ill at somebody. But if you'll get down and sincerely pray, you won't be feeling ill at them when you get up. We can't go around feeling ill at each other and think that, yeah, we're going to go to heaven together. I just hope so-and-so's sitting on the far end of the table away from me. In the millennium, I believe our families will build around us. So we need to learn how to get along with family here. And you need to learn how to get along with your pastor here, because guess what? You don't get free of me when we get to the other side. You ain't going to be free of me when we get to be presented. Father, let them know that these things had to be that way. The little blind boy can see, the little child having the heart trouble might have a testimony to others. All these things work around together for good to them that love you. All made possible to us because there was one obedient in trial. There was one who stood the test, and that was Jesus. The one who was so obedient to the Father, raised him up on Easter morning, because it was not possible that he should be holding of death. For I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. For he was found faithful, always doing that which pleased the Father. God, may we ever be faithful at the post of duty, no matter what our trials is and our troubles, whatever. Whatever covers a lot of things. You just tell me what you're going through, and I can guarantee you it'll fit in whatever. Yeah. No matter what our trials is and our troubles, whatever, may we be able to say always, I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Brother Bam says in the message of Evening Messenger, he says, remember, God wasn't punishing Job. Remember, God wasn't punishing Job. The reason Job was going through those bitter trials was because of the conversation that happened between God and Satan. God was bragging on his son. And God had trust in Job that no matter what befell him, he would not curse God. And he was right. redemption and the completeness and joy. Where the Ram says now, and talking about Israel and Moriah, where they were, he said, they were there, the waters were bitter, they couldn't drink. God provided a way. Little old tree swinging there on the bank. Moses cut it down, throwed it in water, changed the whole thing to good, sweet water. Now, when you come up against one of your bitter waters or something, another like that, there's a tree tonight, spiritually speaking, hanging over Golgotha that'll sweeten any bitter waters that you might be led by. That Calvary will sweeten any experience. I'll tell you what, I've been through some things, friends, that I wondered how in the world they could even be sweetened. But I found out God has a more perfect way than what my thinking sometimes would be. Sometimes I thought, well, if this or that happened, we'd be done with this. And God didn't do it that way. God don't do it your way. We need to quit thinking, well, this is how it should take place. Brother Branham says, when we pray and ask God something, then we fix in our mind how God's going to answer that, that we have made then an image. And that is idolatry. That's what he said. He said in the message, be certain of God. Calvary will sweeten any experience. Many times we get into hard places and wonder how. But I shut my eyes sometimes and think, yonder on Golgotha where my Redeemer bled and died for my life. Then my trials seem so little. I just throw aside and walk on. It makes it sweet. It sweetens every experience I ever had. He always sweetens it when I come to my waters of Mara. Peter says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of our faith more precious than gold. You know what happens when your faith is tried? Sometimes you'll find out you got more faith than you thought you had. And I believe your faith, our faith grows through experiences. I believe it should grow. Your faith in God should grow as you see God bring you out of this particular situation. Then you see, then you run into something else and you watch God bring you through that. And I believe with each time, God's supplying our needs. And I believe then our faith ought to grow, knowing that he is capable of bringing us through anything. He'll not put on us more than we can bear. And he's capable of providing for us. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be surprised. And you know what? Don't think that, well, I'm the only one going through this particular trial. There's nothing new under the sun. Whatever you're facing, somebody else has already faced. And don't get to thinking, well, but my trials are harder than everybody else's. Because if we went around viewing each other's trials, you might look at mine and say, well, man, them are light and easy. And again, you might look at mine and say, man, I don't know how I could take that. Someone else might look at yours and think it's light and easy. Why? Because the thing that bothers you might not bother somebody else. Satan attacks on the things he knows is going to bother you. And God allows him to. sometimes what it does is it points out to us very plainly what our weakness is. And when we find that out, what we're supposed to do is take and fortify that with the word. In other words, guard against that. If we know, well, Satan does this or that, and the other happens, and it just pushes my button. Well, then, you know what? Don't stick your button out there next time. You know what does it? Then avoid it. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, or evildoer, busybody, and other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. One thing we don't want to is let a root of bitterness get in. My aunt in West Virginia had this, some kind of a bush. It was in her flower bed. She wanted out. Back when my uncle was living, he cut the thing down. But left the roots. And it growed back up. Recently, the man who takes care of her lawn and things, she asked him to pull that thing up out of there. He went and cut it down. And she said, are you going to dig them roots out? Because if you don't, it'll just come back up. That's the way the root of bitterness is. You can chop down the tree, but if you leave the root, chop down the bush of bitterness. But if you leave the root there, it's just going to come back up. Don't let our trials make us bitter. Don't let it make us bitter toward God. Don't let it make us bitter toward each other. You might think, well, Brother Jerry, sometimes you put me through trials. Guess what? You put me through them too. And I'm human. And I got to pray and I got to seek God, so that I'll keep the right attitude. And I'm asking you to do the same. Pray and seek God to where you'll keep the right attitude. Because if we get in here with the wrong attitude, nothing is going to be accomplished spiritually. We come in here with a critical spirit, I'll tell you what, you won't get a thing out of here. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's what we don't want to happen. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we are thankful tonight, Lord, for your word. For Lord, how that you have led us through the scriptures tonight. And what you've placed on our heart. Lord, you wouldn't have placed it on my heart if there hadn't been a need for it. Lord, we all have needs. Lord, if this message isn't to anybody else tonight, Lord, then let it be to me. But Lord, I know you don't lay anything on my heart what it isn't to be a help to the people. Lord, I pray that you'll bless your people tonight, Lord. Many of them's got work tomorrow. I pray you'll bless them as they go to work. I pray, Lord, that those maybe that don't have work, you'll bless them during their day. Lord, sweeten the day for them, Lord. We ask it to the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.